these capital eyes. Yeah, look, run with me. Let's go. I see through your meshes like 90s phones. And I ain't bowing down to gravity, so your highness owns. Stand out under pressure from the fabric, that's a real end boss. I got the motive for the motor, so I don't exhaust. Look, the eye is always on you like peonies. Simple deities written while sitting smitten. Why listen to men with feeble knees? Keep it discreet like I'm moving through the agencies. And I ain't think they give you any class with your theories. The smartest taking the foundation is off rocks. So fix your face for the quarters, this ain't no off clocks. You Rhode Islands in order to state your providence. If you ain't guarding galaxies, show us how you are marvelous. Self-made liar, you ain't make yourself. And when the cameras ain't red, you probably hate yourself. We see you lighting up the gas so you can break yourself. You hearing voices in the dark, you Ricky Lake yourself. So this narcissism, you graduated with honors, I promise. Chase the green and you turn to dust like a comet. It's harvest, gave us hustle milk. You was thinking the star is Rwanda's and planting seed because you was needing the commas. Thinking that we was home, but you treated us like Gonzalez. Reconning your time in factories, blasphemies now can harm us. Regardless, we still creating these engineers and these authors and starlets. Remove the harlots, got power to change the markets. Proper pronouns when I use nouns like pros. And there ain't nothing artificial about the deaf man knows. It's not intelligence or academia that grows. It's time to put an end to better reaping what we're sows. I hold another door open, but your mind stays closed. And you were still a little soft before your hard drive froze. I had to write it for the picture so y'all all compose. You taste the fruit of every word and that's the fork y'all chose. Capital I's.
Not gonna lie, so when I was younger, I would say, like, you know how we all go through this identity crisis type thing when we're younger?
That's good.
Yeah, kind of. Like, you don't want to be, like...
Friends, indie friends.
Oh, okay.
So
do wonders, like, AI anomalies.
I know that, right? Saga, who was on...
Rap on the same beats. You're definitely more lyrical, so, like, you're not...
I actually knew a guy in Miami that he was going to the same
show. And I tweeted, like, last week that someday I'm going to have a song with him. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Yo, what up, everybody? This is Mitch Durrell, and this is the Mitch Durrell Show. This is season 3, episode 2, which is crazy that we're already on season 3. Today, I got very special guest, a dope artist, Solachi Vaz. What is up, my friend?
What's up, Ray?
Nothing much, man. I apologize for delaying this. It probably should have happened way sooner.
Oh, no.
But everything in his time. All right, so easy first question that I ask everybody, since we are all Christian artists, how did you find the Christ part? My story is that I was basically born into the church and I got more to it, but I would like to know how everybody else found Christ.
Yeah, for sure. So growing up, I mean, I pretty much was growing up in the church ever since I was little. I remember I was like 5 when I did like the sinner's prayer for the first time, and after that, like shortly after that, I was introduced to my godparents, rest in peace to both of them, but they actually were like the cornerstone of my faith, to be honest, because parents, you know, they immigrated here. I don't have family here other than my immediate family. It's just us 4. So it's like one of those things to where like they stepped in, like my dad got sick when I was really little. And so I didn't know anything about like prayer or faith or anything like that. I just knew it was like the right thing to do.
Right.
And so just, you know, watching them walk out things in the Bible and taking us in and like letting my mom focus on taking care of him, like they showed Christ without preaching. And so that's when I was really introduced to him. But coming full circle for it to come into my music, I had my faith, but I never was really like a rapper. I didn't listen to him until I was like 14.
Same, basically.
So I was just like, oh, so the two can coexist?
All right.
So yeah, like that intersection of culture and faith didn't happen until like almost high school.
So where are your where's your family from?
Nigeria.
Okay, so and your so your parents immigrated?
Yeah, back in the 80s.
Let's see. Wow, very dope. So have you ever gotten to go visit?
Man, there was one time where I was super close and they were like, no. It's mad people getting kidnapped over there right now. So, but, you know, it's been always a gift like that I wanted to give my parents to be able to go like with them and walk around like what spots, you know, they used to have their stomping grounds on. But it's weird because everybody has this idea of Africa being like just stick dirt. But like they actually have this really cool thing. Like it's like this drone technology, I guess, where I logged on and I was able to like see their neighborhood as a kid. So they're doing this whole like rejuvenation project in Nigeria. And I'm just like, this looks like Tokyo. they're from over there. Came over here in the 80s.
That's cool. I didn't know that. So
what's good? This is Joe Silo from Enoch Flow Records.
Hey, this is Jay Fish from Enoch Flow Records.
And you're listening to the Mitch Durrell Show. Let's get it.
That's cool. I didn't know that. So you're similar to me in the fact that you found hip hop late. Couple questions. One, why so late? And then two, what was your introduction to it?
Man, I think why so late was so that it didn't become my identity. I feel if it had come earlier, I would have chased it, but the way that it came, it kind of just snuck up on me. It was kind of like, hi, my name's Purpose. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't try, and I feel like that's the beauty of what like God is doing with it. It's just that it's just flowing out of me. I'm like I said, I didn't get introduced to it till 14. So starting all the way back, you know what I'm saying, from Zulu Nation and doing all the homework. And now I feel like my main thing was, if I'm going to do this, like, I don't want to disrespect this. Okay. You know what I mean? And I think I've always been a writer, but at the same time, like, the way in which it manifested into rap was really interesting. It was because of a church like talent show. You know how they're like, go there, sweetheart.
Right.
So I was like, all right, let me write this little poem for y'all. And I go up there and like everyone's crying at the end. Mm. And, you know, my now OG, my big brother, known him for like 20 years at this point. He was like, yeah, so here's a CD full of beats. You should write. Yeah, and I was just like, what are beats?
Right.
And so yeah, man, like I had to start like really, really basic. Like I didn't know what a 16 was.
Right.
Like, you know, so yeah.
Did you write poetry or try poetry before, I guess, that talent show? Like, would you consider yourself like a poet or someone who wrote poetry often?
Yeah, it's weird because like I would listen to like Stephen Curtis Chapman, like Avalon, and like some of those people, and like I started off as like a contemporary songwriter,
right? And,
like, wow, these songs are really short. No. So let me go ahead and lengthen this out into a poem. So then started writing a little bit more, but I was like, what do we call those, envelope writers? Mm-hmm. Like I would grab the nearest thing and just write something down about it. But I started getting more serious, started getting writing into like notebooks. So that's around the same time that I had to share my first piece. I think it was called Render. Yeah, super long. It's like four.
So I started off writing poetry as well. And then my background was, I was in marching band. And I was like a snare drummer for 7 years. So eventually I ended up mixing the two. I think, do we have that in common or not?
We so do. What the heck?
I think we talked about it. Give me your background in that.
Yes.
So did you, were you like a band kid?
Yes, I was. I'm proudly a band nerd.
You're right.
All through high school and college, like I was just like, you know what? Band camp, let's go.
Right. So you played snare.
I did not play snare. I played toms and I played bass.
Very cool. Now you continue.
I don't know. I was saying that Saturday mornings, you already know.
Right. I think that well, that's really cool. I think I might have known that, but I couldn't remember. But yeah, so I never thought I'd be a rapper at all. I used to write poetry and write little short stories, and I was always a writer. But I came on to rap way late too. So I was good at drums. I was always like, snare drum was like my thing. I only did it in middle high school. I didn't continue in college, but I was like really good in high school. And then later was able to mix like the rhythm with the writing into rap. And then I later found out that Christians do this. So how did you find, I like figuring out how everyone found out that Christian hip hop was like a thing. Cause I'm way late. Like I'm probably the latest person when it comes to literally like learning what Christian hip hop was. So like, when did you figure that out?
Almost as soon as I figured out that I could rap.
Really?
So like back when I was 14, I'm about to age myself hecka right now. But back when I was 14, like Higher Definition by Cross Movement had just dropped. And so that was like the first like CHH, you know what I'm saying? My sister bought it for my birthday and was like, bruh, if you don't get some headphones and get from around me, bruh, like go on somewhere with that. So yeah, that was like the first CD. And then after that was Lecrae's Real Talk dropped after that, which was the first.
His first one.
Oh my God.
I'm over here like doing the math in my head. Like, how much older are you than me?
Over here, like, remembering like all these, like, who was the one joint he had? AT aliens or something like that. It was like, aliens. I'm like, bro, like I heard it the other day. I was like, yo, that was 2004 for real.
Oh my goodness. That's funny. So I guess, did you ever make a conscious effort to be like, yo, I'm going to be a CHH artist. Like this is what I'm going to be. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the fact that I was exposed to like rap within that sphere, it really got like my desire to use it for Christ, because I already saw like what the world was doing with rap. Mm-hmm. And like, if you listen to it, like I knew who Tupac was, you know what I'm saying? I knew who Nas was. I knew who Jay-Z was. Like, and it was no knock to those guys. It was just like, there was a reason my parents were like, nah, don't listen to them.
Exactly.
And I never wanted to be in a situation where I had something to say, but somebody's parents was like, no.
And listen to them.
Yeah, because I'm like, yo, like, if kids can't listen to you, then there must not be, at least the way that my parents raised me is like, if kids can't listen, then there must not be anything to teach within, or it's not something that you should want to learn. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, yo, like, there's a reason that there's parental advisories, not because it's like too great for you. Like, it's not.
Right.
I want what I do to last. And I think that was the first time, even at that age, like the Lord was like, yo, like make a decision. I was like, yo, like I want something that is going to be able to be a positive part of my legacy. Mm-hmm. And I don't hear, you know, edits and chops and screws.
Right. No, I feel that. So what are your thoughts on, since you know, it seems like you were a CHH fan, like, early, what do you think about it now? Because, I mean, it's kind of a joke, but a lot of artists I know have, like, muted the phrase CHH on Twitter so they never see it, and, like, all the, there's always drama and stuff. Like, what are your thoughts on it, at least as an artist? Or maybe as a fan, too. Has it gotten better? Is it different? That type of thing.
I feel like, from a consumer standpoint, it's more likely for whatever type of music you're into to be recommended now than be. I feel like there's a lot more opportunity for CHH artists to be quote unquote successful, but financially in different spheres. And I think that's great because it does give us a lane to kind of grow and expand and reach a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. Maturity wise, I am definitely, we have opportunities for growth. Mm-hmm. Say it dramatically, you know what I mean? It's just, I feel like more cats need to be aware of why they got into this.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be more not necessarily gatekeeping, but discipleship when we get into this.
Yeah.
Because I think that's leading to a lot of premature exits, not just the genre, but in people's faith. And so, you know, now we're having people that they might have strong musical backgrounds and great networking, but absolutely zero, like, spiritual, like, content, really. And so I think as an artist, your music that you put out is reflective of where your heart is at. And so I definitely wish that, you know, within our genre, we would learn to support each other better. And also just kind of be a little bit more mature overall, because a lot of the squabbles we have
are stupid.
So, like, who are we fighting today, bro? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, on Twitter, sometimes it'd be so wild. And I'm brothers and sisters. Like, I love y'all, but...
I had to take a week break. Like, last week, I took a week off Twitter. And that's a big thing for me, because anyone that knows me knows that I live on that app. I love, like, I love being social with people. Like, I've, like, now lifelong friends of people that I've met on the internet. You know, like, there's a lot of good that can come from it. But it definitely... had become a thing where I was low-key addicted, and it was like bringing me down because of all the arguing and fighting, and not with like non-Christians, but with other people who are Christians. It's like, why are we're on the same team? Like, it doesn't make no sense. It's like the whole world, and then like this little speck of a genre is like arguing with each other, and it's like, what are you doing? Like, it's like if Whoville argued with each other all day. It's like no one even knows. Like, why y'all should be on the same team? Like, it doesn't make no sense.
Like, it's like a bunch of raccoons just fighting over the set. Like, come on. I mean, we ain't raccoons. But, like, honestly, like, that's, like, the first things that I think of. Like, we are the same. Like, if we minus some of that energy and just, like, put it towards spiritual wars, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, praying for each other or serving, like,
way
more effective.
Completely agree. So tell me, this is probably a duh type question, but like, are there any negatives or challenges that come with being a Black woman Christian artist? Like, that's like three different categories that are all like minority. Are there any specific challenges that have come with that, or things you've noticed that have, you know, just made it
harder? Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's B Plus back with yet another recap countdown video. Thank you so much for being here with me. As always, I have a great one prepared for you here today. We're going to be taking a look at Jay Monty's latest EP entitled Free Me. Now, two things before I go ahead and get started. Number one, I do realize that this project came out like in the spring of 2021, and I'm just now getting around to doing a recap countdown video of it. Apologies for that. And number two, I do want to bring up the point that this is an EP, and normally it's a lot harder to kind of follow my 5-4-3-2-1 format when I'm covering an EP, just because it's less to choose from. But in this case, it's Jay Monty. It's chock full of a lot of great content, a lot of good music. It was very vulnerable on this project, so I had no problem pulling in enough content just to do this recap countdown video. So if this is your first time checking out a recap countdown video, really quickly, here's what I do. I take a look at my 5 favorite bars, my 4 favorite beats, my 3 favorite tracks, my 2 favorite features, and I'll round everything out with one final recap. Now, without any further ado, let's get into this review.
5 bars.
Back on the go for all of y'all who thought it was over. Blacking the road, the roadblock, stopping the chauffeur. Follow the flow, I won't stop knocking them over. Lo and behold, I'm the prodigal soldier. Go for the gold, I was caught in the redie. When you talk, it's like the truth go missing. God be steady speaking now, but you don't listen. Y'all don't talk about the crucifixion, yet you out here wondering why your crew's so fiction. I admit, okay, my cousin got locked up for murder. The system took years to find out he ain't do it. Or maybe the whole time they knew he ain't do it, and they just saw another Black boy they could screw with. Then they tried to lock up my brother, Lil Wooter. You would know he was innocent if only you knew him. So when they asked me why I attacked these bars, cause I almost lost my whole family to him. The church that made it. But now you see the progression, and when they sit in my section, where was you when every dinner was rhyming? I ain't here to make no impression, I'm here to make my collection. My heavenly bank account look like Roddy Riches. Pay me what I'm worth like Scottie Pippen.
I've been feeling like a I've been feeling like a weak dad. I done turned into a here's some money. Can I see my kids once or twice a week, dad? Wish I could be a complete dad. Really wish I could be a belief dad. Really wish I could be at the games. Picture frame hanging in my office suite, dad.
Now, those of you that are fans of Jay Monty, you know that it is virtually impossible to pick your five favorite bars off of any work of art that he puts out. But I did the best that I could, and this is what I came up with. Number five, I really enjoyed the Prodigal Soldier part that he had on the Paint the Truth song, Moving On. I really liked the bar, the Crucifixion, Crucifixion, or More Than I Can Bear. That was just a bar. I really enjoyed
that. This is probably a duh type question, but like, are there any negatives or challenges that come with being a Black woman Christian artist? Like, those, that's like three different categories that are all like minority. Are there any specific challenges that have come with that, or things you've noticed that have, you know, just made it harder?
Man, how do I answer that? Diplomatically,
right.
And it's so difficult. Mm. It's so difficult, and the reason being, it's not necessarily because of my Blackness, mm-hmm. more so my feminine status. Like, my status as a woman has proven to be more of an opportunity for growth for my brothers than
right.
my race. But also, I've seen the two, depending on the circles I'm in, kind of work for me in a way. Mm-hmm. But I think being out here in California, I've been able to more so celebrate my Blackness,
mm-hmm.
Out here, especially in the Bay Area. yeah, those two, like anywhere else, I'd have been like, because originally I'm from Indiana, and
wow. Yeah.
This is so my existence there was a lot more challenging as an mm-hmm. artist, as a Black female artist, especially Christian,
mm-hmm.
than it been out here. Out here, I feel like there's a lot more open lanes for what I would create, mm-hmm. especially from my perspective.
Right.
So that's been great, actually. But I feel like anywhere else, that might not be the case.
Yeah.
That would be, and I definitely feel that our numbers, as far as, you know, Black women who are in entertainment, just in general on the Christian side, mm-hmm. there's not a whole lot of us,
right?
Not people who are like established, and so finding, I think the biggest thing I've noticed is finding a mentor was mm-hmm. 15-year process for me.
Wow.
Yeah, like for somewhat, like I literally just met her like 4.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And to think it took that until that point in my career, like it took moving out here to find her.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Makes sense.
So there's so few of us.
That makes sense. I can definitely see that. Tell me, I'll try to do both. Tell me something or some things that you like love about making music and being a rapper. And there's some things that you're like, this is garbage. Like, I hate this. I wish I never had to do this. Because I feel like all artists have stuff like that where it's like, this part is amazing. And then this part, I wish I never had to do again.
Right. I would say, I mean, I don't know if everybody's going to say this, but like, marketing is super annoying.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, it's just like, yo, like, I don't mind like even creating the content, but like having to position it.
Right.
It's so to me because I'm just like I just want to be on here and talk. Like, can y'all just punch like just. But like, I really want like a regular like flowing conversation like this. I don't like doing the whole video drops on the 22nd.
I hate that.
But I think my favorite part is just like watching an idea go from seed to inception to like actual like concept and then mm-hmm. full rollout, you know, and just seeing how it like morphs across those stages.
Right.
It doesn't really take me that long to write my verses, but I feel like the songs where I'm able to like add different elements, because some songs I have like this Travis Scott howl that I'm kind of y'all would hear it on First Plane. But I'm kind of getting into this like psychedelic pocket. And so I, at least from the sound perspective and just developing different characteristics to my vocals, I think is probably the most fun part, because understanding like, okay, I can do pop rap, I can sing, and then come over here and do like completely like East Coast, like Remy sound and stuff. It's dope.
Very cool. So what would you say, if you have one, is like the goal for your music? Like, why, if someone's just like, why do you make music? What is your goal for it?
I think a lot of that's gonna be answered on my next EP, which is called Yes You Are. And I feel like I want to tell people what they are. I want people to know who they are. I want people to see themselves as God sees them. And so, simply put, just letting people know, like, your journey doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't even have to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's yours.
Right.
Own it. Don't own the lies that, you know, the world would give you. And just letting people know, like, you're not the only one who has had those thoughts, who's struggled with those moments, who, you know, and just kind of let people know they're not by themselves, they're not less than.
I really like that a lot. That's a good way to sell it. Tell me, so I'm really big on collabs. Like, I love, it's something that when I first was rapping, it was just kind of me and like the guy who was mentoring me at the time. And we would do some records together, but for the most part, I was doing tracks by myself. So once I kind of found out about CHH and knew there was like hundreds of other artists, I like fell in love with working with other people. I was like, I want to work with as many people. And that's why I've been doing my mixtapes. Like, I have 15, 20, 25 people on a project. Yeah. I'm like, I want to work with as many people as possible. So give me your thoughts on collabs, and how they benefit you, what you like about them, that type of thing.
Yeah, I love doing collabs. I think it's a great opportunity to be pushed out of your zone if you're a feature. And I think also if you're a featurer, if you're the person with the song, then it kind of opens you up to new ways of doing things and new, I guess, fan bases, but also too, just outside of the business. It just lets you see like different ways, different processes.
Right.
Really introducing you to like different sounds, because like for me, Twitter, again, like crazy platform, I talk to maybe 25% of my followers, which I need to do a better job at. But some of these people are from like crazy places and never heard. Like, there was somebody from Manila in the Philippines that was like, hey, I just heard your song and my artist wants to work with you. Never been to the Philippines and retired. So it's just like, I feel like just when you sit and think, like, people around the world literally stopping their moments in life to listen to you.
Yeah.
Like, just the power behind the internet is crazy. So yeah, I mean, I think it's really cool, just the cross-cultural dimensional part of it as well.
Thanks. Definitely can make friends that way. You kind of, there's like the practical aspect of like you're reaching each other's audiences, that type of thing. Even I like going on Spotify and looking at the like listeners, also like your fans, also like fans of seeing all the people that listen to you also listen to, and it makes sense to work with those people, that type of thing.
Right.
So you kind of already touched on it, but do you have anything you're working on in the near future, and then plans for like the coming years music wise?
Oh man. So you want to tell them, or you want me to tell them?
You can tell them.
Oh, you already know. Okay. So me and Mitch are coming out with a single. It's called Neon Lights. You know what I'm saying? So that's coming on the way. Just finished the cover for that. I'm going to lay the remainder of my vocals on there and let you know as soon as we got some release info. But it's to end up on the Yes You Are EP, which is in October. So and that's kind of like, it's mostly an East Coast tape. I'm gonna say mostly because there's a couple tracks on there, it's a little neo sounding,
right?
but yeah, it's kind of an ode to where I got started in my comfortable pocket in music, which is like East Coast boom bap time.
Very dope. Keep boom bap alive. Keep lyricism alive.
And then I have a single dropping on the 20th, actually in a couple of days, called First Plane. And it's just talking about how I moved out to California with like $350.
Wow. Very dope. Last thing I've been asking everybody, and hopefully I won't have to continue asking it, but how did / has the pandemic affected you in just life as an artist? Did you think it's gonna last this long? Are you ready for it to be over?
So ready for it to be over. Like, it's crazy because that's such a huge question for me personally. Mm-hmm. I actually got COVID at the beginning.
Really?
Yeah. And where I was staying, it was like everybody in the house had it at one time. It was crazy because it was right at the beginning, before really anything was known. And so there was a lot of fear, a lot of obviously discomfort. And it was a lot of uncertainty because I had just lost my job like 2 weeks before I got sick.
Oh my goodness.
So I was like, Lord, bro, I mean, it's 30 years, you know what I mean? So I really thought it was it for me. But just after, you know, slowly recovering, and then just watching him bless me, starting my business, being able to allow him to really just kind of take over the agenda of my life.
Right.
Kind of showed me a lot about my faith. And in that respect, now, as far as the quarantine, like, I haven't seen my family, like I mentioned earlier, like early 2019.
Wow.
So it's ironic because I'm going to be shooting the music video for First Plane on the 27th of this month. And I'm seeing them for the first time in 2 years on the 28th.
Wow.
So that's pretty much how it's affected me. I was one of those essential workers, so I had to go in. But yeah, it's been trying for sure.
Tough. No, I'm glad you made it through. Yeah, because getting it, I was talking about how the people that got it at the beginning, it was like, yeah, like whenever you found out someone had it, you're like, no, like it's over. And now, not that it's not bad now still, but it's like there's more known. Yeah. And so it's less scary, but no, definitely the beginning, it was like...
Like, I had it in, like, when it was just, like, when everyone was, like, there was no flights, there was nobody out. There was, like, it sounded like the birds died. Like, like I was just, like...
Well, I'm glad you recovered. So last thing, tell the people where they can find your music, where they can reach you on social media, all that.
For sure. It's at Solachi Voz on every single platform. So SolachiVoz, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. What else I got? No, I don't got Pinterest. my website, www.solachivoz.com. And if anybody needs any press releases or artist biographies written, let me know. Website's done. I can help with that too.
Your website's really good. Like, really good. I was like, this is one of the best websites I've seen from a CHH artist, for sure.
Yeah, so if anybody needs anything, holler at me. I'll hook you up. So
very dope. And then shout out Daryl from Bookkeeper. We are now 3 seasons strong, I guess. I don't know how many we're gonna do, but I'm just glad you're giving me the opportunity to talk, because I can do this forever. I'll interview everybody in CHH if I have to.
Right.
Appreciate you, Daryl, and then appreciate anybody who has watched every episode, or even if this is your first one, I hope you all watch next time. So peace out.
Not gonna lie, so when I was younger, I would say, like, you know how we all go through this identity crisis type thing when we're younger?
That's good.
Yeah, kind of like you don't want to be like
friends, indie friends.
Oh, okay.
So
do wonders like AI anomalies.
I know that, right? Saga, who was on
the same beats. You're definitely more lyrical. So, like, you're not...
I actually knew a guy in Miami that he was going to the same
show. And I tweeted, like, last week that someday I'm going to have a song with him. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen.